Yeah, traveling, it opens my eyes up to how unique Australians are. So yeah, in Turkey, it was interesting seeing men everywhere. It was a man-dominated society, and you know, in all the shops, it was just men working them. Here in Australia, it's quite female-dominated shop, you know, shop assistants. But even in a female dressing like a bridal shop, there were men as the shop assistants. I wanted to take a photo, but I thought they might attack me. But anyway, you feel safe in Australia. You don't always feel safe when you're overseas. What about in German? The Germans make me laugh because they're so German. I don't know how else to explain it. They're just very formal, and they do their handshakes when you greet them, and they're very polite, and they don't understand Aussie sense of humour. That's another Aussie trait. Sarcasm. Germans don't under sarcasm. It gets you in trouble. The Swedish, it just kind of makes me smile that they're kind of generally blonde and blue-eyed, and they like to eat pickled herring for breakfast. There's something unique about each country, and I know a lot of you come from different countries, and there's quirks about your country and things that you love and things that you like to leave behind. And I bring all that up because it's been making me think about, you know, who are we? What's our identity? As Australians, I feel privileged in world standards that we've got a wonderful standard of living here. We can live in peace and freedom. We have a democracy, so your voice counts. Yeah, there's lots of things to love about Australia. We've got beaches that no one really goes to. You can sit down there with hundreds of kilometres of gap between you and the next person. In Germany, you've got to go out at 5 a.m. and reserve your little patch of sand with your towel, so that you can go and enjoy the beach. But yeah, Australia, we're very blessed. And thinking about then our Christian lives, who are we as Christians? What's this identity we have? Because sometimes I think, like Australians, we can kind of get stuck in our little home environment and not realize what we really have as followers of Christ. And so today I just want to give that a little bit of a shake up and a sort out and get us back to the root of why we can call ourselves Christian. So last week we had that lovely story of John the Baptist pointing Andrew, one of his disciples, to Jesus, saying the Lamb of God, and Andrew had enough courage to kind of follow at a distance, and Jesus invited him to come and see who he was. Today in Matthew's Gospel, we have this beautiful encounter with Jesus going out, walking beside that Sea of Galilee, and seeing these, strangely enough, this Andrew character again with his brother and another guy, John, and his brother out fishing, and he calls them into a new life. I don't know what Andrew, Peter, John and James really thought their identity was, but it was probably pretty much wrapped up in their work. You know, one of the great Aussie things is that we do the small talk when we meet. Germans don't do small talk. You don't ask a German how they're going because they'll actually tell you, you know. You know how we learn the greeting, how you're going, and then you just translate it in wie geht es Ihnen? And Germans will just look at you. What? You want to know? Well, my knee, it's really sore. And my wife, she is a pain. And my neighbor, I hate him. And it's like, okay, I just wanted to say hello, but that's okay. I shouldn't pick on the Germans. They're lovely. But, you know, when you ask someone in Australia, start doing the small talk, and you get that the conversation. So what do you do? What do you do? A lot of our identity is around what we do, and for most people who are through their working life, your identity is around about your occupation, isn't it? So, yeah, you get this identity about what you're actually doing with your life. So for Peter and Simon, a fisherman, they had their part to play in the world. They had to supply fish for people to eat, but yeah, what kind of importance did they have? And yet, Jesus took common people and invited them into a new kingdom where they were something, fishermen. They could be fishermen of people, something special. in our lives, I don't know about how you see yourselves. Often it can be related around your situation, being a dad or a son or a grandfather or a retiree for a lot of you lucky people. Can't wait. Not that I don't love my job. Maybe it's your job, the way that you spend your time and energy. But I think Jesus calls us into something quite different, and understanding our identity seen through the lens of what Jesus is giving us is so important, so critical for our lives, or else we'll just end up staying on the boat, basically. We need to be able to hear Jesus' call to come follow him and realize that that comes with an identity change in our lives. You know, for me as a pastor, it's amazing when people ask that question, and I think I've mentioned this a couple of times. It's going to become an old pastor joke, but, you know, when someone asks me what I'm doing and I say pastor, it's amazing how the conversation just goes on to the weather. People shut down that conversation, don't they? They're like, oh, yeah, I don't know quite what to say about that. So, the weather, it's lovely, isn't it? It's been hot. Good Aussie trait. What I love is that in the Bible, we continue to see how God doesn't shut us down. He wants to have a relationship with us. When Jesus calls those guys out of the boat, his disciples, he doesn't shut them down in conversation. He doesn't say to them, look, you guys, you've got to become better fishermen before I'm going to invite you into my life. You have to get all your naughty habits worked out before I'm going to invite you into my kingdom. He doesn't shut them down and say, yeah, fishermen, that's a bit smelly. I'll see you later. Same with us. We all know that none of us are as good as we should be. God has set his holy standards for us in his law, and none of us make the requirement of the law. All of us should be really shut down by God. It should be the end of the conversation. And yet, Jesus doesn't. He invites those sinners, those fishermen, into a living relationship with him. We often put a lot of emphasis on in our Christian life that we've made a decision for Christ. And no doubt it's important that we're following Christ. Yes, that's important. But the most important thing is that Jesus Christ has done everything to call us into that relationship. And it's just a little bit of a shift in our thinking. But unless we understand that, we're going to start falling into traps in how we live this Christian life and understand our identity. We see that in Corinth. You know, Paul's writing to that church, and there's obviously some arguments going on. That never happens in a church. Some theological disagreements between the Apollos followers. Apollos must have been a good teacher, so he had a few guys saying, we follow Apollos, his ways are right. Or following Paul or Cephas, Peter, or someone, you know, gave the Sunday school answer, Jesus, I follow Christ. But all these different thinkings about what's going on in our life, unless we understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners, we're not going to understand this call to follow him. Because Paul says it beautifully. He shames those Corinthians. He says, was Paul crucified for you? You're following me, but did I die for you? Were you baptized in my name? I'd love to baptize. I baptize you in the name of Michael and James and Rudolph. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, little disciples of my own. But that's not how it works. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Paul says to them, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then he kind of gives us the gospel. Not with wisdom or eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So following Jesus means that we're going to encounter the cross. You know, those disciples, when they heard Jesus call him, you know, Andrew had sort of discovered Jesus through John the Baptist, that he was the Lamb of God. He had worked out that, this guy's the Messiah. And now Jesus is inviting him to come follow him as a disciple. That's pretty amazing. I don't think Andrew or Peter or John or James realized that, that would take them to the cross. For each of us, as followers of Christ, it's going to take us to the cross. There we have to be confronted that Jesus has to die for each and every one of us. Every one of his followers Jesus has to die for. There's not one of us that he didn't have to die for because we're so good in ourselves. This is important to realize as we call ourselves Christians, that we need a Savior. That we need Jesus to die for us. He's done everything for us to be in a relationship with him. He called those disciples out of the boat into a life of growing deeper with him. They had no idea what was before them. They just knew Jesus was this special guy, and they're going to realize how special he was, come to realize he was the Son of God. They had to come to realize that he had to die for them on that cross. And yet, he would rise again, wouldn't he? In glorious power, so that every disciple could be robed in his righteousness. This is the power of those who are being saved, the cross of Christ. If we call ourselves Christians, then we also have to lay our lives at the foot of the cross, knowing that none of us deserve or have the strength to follow him, that none of us have the holiness to follow him, none of us have made the greatest decision in the world on our own, but it's only because Jesus Christ has opened the way, who has freely given us the way into salvation in his name. We have been washed clean by his blood. And so, as you think about your identity as Christians, as you think about other people's identity as Christians, just know that we are Christians because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Please start there. Please always judge other people by what Christ has done for them. A sinner who needs to be saved, who has the way open to them so that they can follow Christ with their lives. The invitation is amazing, isn't it? Come, follow me. Jesus has done all the work. We just need to go, yep, that's so good. I want to be with God and I can follow Jesus. Doesn't mean we've got it all worked out. Doesn't mean we're purely purified our lives from all our sin. Yes, we'll have to work through some of those issues as we repent for the kingdom of heaven comes near. But Jesus Christ is the reason why we can come close to God. I think that changes everything as we think about sharing the love of God with others. You know, as I hear these situations of people that don't know Jesus, that really the invitation's there. They need to know that God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them. It's not about how good they feel. It's not about how great they are in following God's law. It's not about the wonderful life they've lived or not lived, or how Australian or not Australian, whatever rules you would like to apply to them. It's all about what God has done for us in Christ. That's something worth sharing, something I love to bring to people when they're facing suffering, because it's free, it's there, we can cling to it, we can follow Jesus knowing it's not in our strength but in Christ's love and forgiveness that we get to be his disciples. And so I encourage you, as you think about your identity as a blessed follower of Christ, received in his grace, giving that gift to others is such a beautiful thing. There's no requirements on them, just to hear that God loves them and wants them to be in part of his kingdom. So, as you think about being an Australian today and all the joy that that brings, think about the joy that you have in Jesus' name, that you have salvation, that sin, death, and the devil will never stop you from having a relationship with God because Christ has gone to the cross for you. And as you contemplate these things, think about bringing that joy to the world in everything that you do so that others may come and follow Christ with their lives. All right. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds into Christ Jesus as you follow him with your lives. Amen.